Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew. Let us listen to what the Spirit is saying. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there. And while the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with an ear listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100, in another 60, and in another 30. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Oh God, we do come before you with praise, grateful for the gift of this day and this place and the freedom to worship you and to seek your way for us. And so now, God, open us to receive what you have. Help us to have open eyes, open ears, open hearts, that whatever you want to share will find a home in us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, for you alone are my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. I know that you believe you understand what you think I said, but I am not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. Some of you may have heard a version of that, said a version of that, thought a version of that at some point in your lives. Words, of course, have all sorts of meanings and hold a great deal of power. Sometimes words become more meaningful or less because of the person who is speaking, what we know of them, or what we think we know of them. And anyone who's ever been in a human relationship, and that would be all of us, I trust, know that we can be communicating with someone using the same words, same language, and yet even still not be communicating at all. It is really frustrating when you think you have made a point, worked so hard to communicate something, and you're sure that you've said it. You know what you've said. And then you come to discover that the person with whom you were in a conversation has not a clue what you were talking about. I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. This phenomenon is interesting in a special way when applied to the task of preaching. I recently discovered that I had been preaching in a community for 4 years, and there was an individual in that community who had been hearing me say things that I had literally never said, and that were, in fact, completely opposite of my perspective and theology. Now, it was by the grace of God that I actually discovered that this poor soul had been sitting out there thinking that I was really fairly terrible. But the reason that I discovered that he thought this was simply because of what had gotten in the way of his hearing. And part of that was the fact of what he was bringing in terms of assumptions based on the fact that I am from Oklahoma. And he knows some people from Oklahoma and has some thoughts about them. And it was also based on the fact that I talk about Jesus a lot. So being from Oklahoma and talking about Jesus a lot meant for him a certain thing, and that led him to hear me say all sorts of things that I never said. Never said them. Fascinating. Fascinating. Now, even in cases where folks may not have such wildly skewed perspectives based on their own assumptions and personal baggage, and even where folks have been engaging with the same preacher for many years, it is still the case that on any given Sunday, folks will leave having heard something that often has very little to do with what the preacher thought she was actually talking about. This issue becomes perhaps particularly challenging in times like this, in times of transition between voices in the pulpit. Because it takes some time, of course, for a preacher to come to know the persons with whom she's in conversation every week. And it takes some time for the congregation to grow accustomed to a new preacher's idiom and style. Makes me think of when my niece was just a little one and my mother, known as Mimi to her grandchildren, would come and be helping my sister take care of Jordan, my niece. And when Jordan was very young, she would get very frustrated with Mimi because Mimi wasn't doing it the way Mommy did it. And she would correct Mimi with some regularity. Well, Mommy does it this way. Mommy says it that way. Mimi used to get pretty upset by this, saying, "Girl, I'm here to help. You better just receive the help, you know?" But it's normal, of course. We get used to things being done in a certain way, and that's the right way. And we get used to hearing things expressed with a certain kind of language, and that becomes the right language. It's normal. It takes time for a new voice, a new way of acting, to be fully heard and received. Today we hear Jesus say, "Let anyone with ears listen." Jesus wants to be heard. And he certainly has his work cut out for him in communicating the good news of the kingdom, because his voice is a new voice. What he's saying and what he's doing runs counter to people's expectations. He challenges the idea that kingdom is all about political power and worldly domination. He cares for people others would deem unworthy or unclean. He shakes the family tree loyalties so strong in the primarily Jewish and Jewish Christian context in which Matthew was writing, proclaiming instead that it is fidelity to God that makes us family. The message that Jesus proclaims is not the very familiar to us in the world message of us versus them. Rather, he preaches a word that is for all. Jesus shares a word that is not sectarian, but rather for all people, like seed scattered without being careful where it lands. And from the time that Jesus first spoke Right up until today, the word that Jesus brings is heard and received in all sorts of ways. That's really what today's parable is about. It's meant to describe how what Jesus calls the word of the kingdom is received and the various consequences that follow. The hardened soil of the path, the rocky soil, and the soil overgrown with thorns are used as metaphors for folks in whom the seed, the word of the kingdom, fails to grow and flourish. Good soil allows the word to bear fruit beyond imagination. Now, this perhaps seems fairly straightforward, and we might say together, we get it. But what is it that we get? What are we hearing? What is the word of the kingdom that Jesus wants us to receive? I would like to suggest that the word of the kingdom is not only the wise sayings of a rabbi who lived a long time ago, but is also the person who embodied the word and the will of God, even Jesus the Christ. Imagine that the word that's being offered is not just a collection of sayings and writings that is locked away in a book, but is rather Jesus himself who comes and offers himself to the world. Imagine that the parable that we heard this morning is about Jesus freely offering himself to everyone, hoping that his love and his friendship will be received, will take root in good soil and bear fruit. If this is the case, then what we're talking about here is not an intellectual concept to which we are asked to assent, but it is rather a kind of relationship that we are invited to cultivate. It's a familial relationship in which we claim our kinship as sisters and brothers together with Jesus in the one family of God. This, by the way, together with the added benefit of providing a less patriarchal version of the teaching, is the reason that you will often hear me use the language of kingdom for what traditionally has been called the kingdom. Those from the South should know we are all kin. And anyone in the church who's been paying attention should know, within the church, outside the church, we are all kin. And it is the kingdom, that reign of God, that Jesus is trying to share with us. And Jesus doesn't just talk about the kingdom. Jesus shows us the kingdom. Jesus is both the word of the kingdom, speaking the word of the kingdom, and embodies the very kingdom itself. And that word of the kingdom that Jesus is, that Jesus speaks, that Jesus shows, is none other than the word of love. The word of the kingdom is God's love that Jesus comes to show and to share. Today's parable speaks of the challenges of hearing and receiving this word of the kingdom. Now, why do you suppose that receiving the love of God would be challenging? Jesus offers in this parable three reasons, and of course, there are others. But we'll reflect on those in our passage. First, Jesus says that some folks simply don't understand the word of the kingdom, which is love. They don't understand it. You know, real love doesn't make sense when you've never been loved, or when you've never witnessed a healthy, loving relationship. Jean Vanier, who some of you may have heard of, is the founder of what's called the L'Arche communities, which are communities of persons with mental disabilities who come together with their caregivers to live in intentional mutual friendship and mutual intentional community. Vanier talks about the way that some folks arrive in these communities, folks who have been absolutely ignored, neglected, and oftentimes abused. And he speaks of how difficult and challenging it is for those who have come into the community in such a wounded state to receive love and friendship. It doesn't make sense to them because they have never known it. It is difficult when all you have experienced is rejection or distrust or fear or violence or survival at all costs. It is difficult to understand that you are worthy of love, or that you can offer love and have it actually be received and reciprocated. It's also hard to understand the freely offered love that Jesus gives when all you've known in your life is a kind of quid pro quo that requires that love be earned before it's given. You got to get it right. You got to be right. You got to meet this requirement. In our world where everything's for sale, the idea that God's love and grace and mercy are free just does not compute for a lot of folks. You know, I know people who have been in the church, raised up in the church, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ week in, week out, their entire lives, who have confessed to me that they still struggle to understand, to really wrap their minds around, much less truly open their hearts to the reality of God's freely given love for them. They don't understand it. Next, Jesus says that some people may understand and receive with joy what's being offered, but when they're giving or receiving the kind of love that has been offered in Jesus, when doing that, when loving like Jesus loves brings trouble, they aren't able to persevere. The love that Jesus offers us makes us vulnerable. It makes us aware of our own small love and of our dependence. Who here likes to be first in line for a big dose of vulnerability and dependence? What Jesus is offering us is a love that is challenging. Jesus' love calls forth in us, if we really receive it, repentance and self-sacrifice and humility. To truly receive the love that Jesus offers us also means that Jesus' friends become our friends. And what that means is that we then are standing with the dispossessed, the poor, the oppressed. To receive the love that Jesus has for us means as well that we have to learn to love ourselves even as we love others. It means that we have to learn to receive as well as to always, perhaps pridefully, always be the ones on the giving end. None of this is easy. And even those of us who intellectually understand the beauty and the benefits of what's being offered may find ourselves, when things really get painful, when things really get hard, we may find ourselves falling away. Finally, Jesus teaches that some folks hear the word of God's love, but they allow money and possessions and status and other cares of the world to speak more loudly until the voice of love gets drowned out. And you know, as much as we try not to let this happen, it is so difficult not to fall back out of fear or habit into a reliance upon material things for our sense of security and self-worth. You know, it's not that we don't need to appropriately care for our needs and for the needs of our families. In another place, Jesus is clear. God knows that you need food and clothing and shelter. It's not that. The problem comes when we allow our anxious drive to acquire, to take priority over our relationships. When we allow anxiety over material things to strangle our ability to share life and love with others and with God. Or when we're tempted to perhaps love things and use people instead of using our things to help us love people. Some may struggle to receive love because their hearts have grown so full of all their stuff and there's just no more room. There are challenges. Certainly, there are challenges to receiving this transforming word of the kingdom, which is God's love. There are challenges, but I would suggest that just as plants are made to receive sunlight and water so that they can grow and produce fruit, I want to proclaim today with joy and hope that you and I are made with ears to hear and with hearts to receive the word of the kingdom, which is itself the steadfast, merciful, prodigal love of God. This is how we are made. It's what we are made for. Love, you see, is our native language when the kids come and ask you. Love is our native language, the language that formed us and shaped us and breathed life into us. It's only the painful, complicated, broken ways of the world that cause us to forget that language, to abandon that language for a time, for a moment. It's only the broken ways of the world that trample down the earth of our souls, making us hardened so that we put up defenses and won't receive it. Only the broken ways of the world that throw rocks into the garden, that sprout snares and temptations in our hearts, that greedily hog the rich earth, keeping new seeds of love from taking root. The good news is that language can be learned or relearned, and any ground can be cultivated. Even earth that has been abused and neglected can be lovingly brought back to a state in which it can receive and sustain seeds that will grow. I have good friends who are landscape architects, and they've taught me a great deal about native plants and the wisdom of planting things in a place that they're naturally designed to grow. When we worked together on a garden installation, we had to first prepare the soil that was full of debris, trash and rocks and roots. It was overgrown. And we also then took care to plant specimens that would thrive in that particular location. You should see the fruits of that labor. This is what I hear Jesus teaching us today. Our hearts are created by God to be open and receptive, to give and to receive love and care, to be in relationship with God and with other people and with the creation as one family in the kingdom. While our hearts, yours and mine, may need a little cultivation, digging down to remove the debris of neglect or violence that has been done to us in our lives, what we are offered in Christ are seeds that are native to us. The word of the kingdom, the word of love and faith and trust, is our native language. It wants to take root and grow. Jesus the Christ, the very word and reality of God's love, wants to grow and take root in your heart, to fill and form and give strength and life. You know, even when it seems the least likely, God is able to bring new life and transformation, deeper love and mercy, generosity, kindness, trust. It's possible. It can happen in those whom we might be tempted to write off as too hardened, as too rocky, too thorny. It can happen to you and to me. And through the seeds of God's love planted within your heart, a great harvest, or perhaps just one small seed of possibility, will be offered back into the world, itself a word of the kingdom, looking to take root in the native soil of someone else's heart. What do you hear Jesus saying to you today? It may have nothing to do with anything that I think I've said, but if I've learned anything from my study and prayer with this parable today, then I will trust that God's word will land where it needs to land, and that it will take root. And by grace, most of always by grace, that word will offer new life and a harvest of love that's truly beyond what we can imagine. For this, I give thanks to God for what God is doing in you, for what God is doing in me, for what God is able to do in us. Amen.